The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Lily Defo
and Ibrahim Kwatem.
In the headlines, Minister of Health tours health facilities as cholera spreads to Ada East and West districts. 1,000 cholera cases recorded weekly in Accra Metropolis. Government releases 30 million liters of diesel to help address shortfall in supply. President Mahama cut sought today for rehabilitation of the Defence Commander Sugar Factory. Tertiary institutions tasked to establish emergency screening centres on campuses on Ebola. And WHO calls for screening of all departing travellers from Ebola-affected countries. First, a summary with Ibrahim Kwatin.
About 1,000 cases of cholera are recorded weekly, with the disease spreading to areas like Ada East and West, which hitherto had no reported cases. The Greater Accra Director of Health Services, Dr. Linda Van Otu, painted an alarming picture when she joined the Minister of Health, Dr. Kwaku Ajimamensah, and his entourage to visit the General Hospital in Accra. The Chief Executive of the Ghana Bulk Oil Distribution Company, Senior Hosi, says government has released about 30 million liters of diesel onto the market to address the shortfall in supply. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Hosi said financial challenges and loss of confidence in letters of credit from government is largely the result of the temporary shortage of some petroleum products, but said the challenges will be addressed by the end of this quarter. President John Mahama will today fulfill his 2012 campaign promise he made to the people of the central region to ensure the revival of the Commander Sugar Factory. He will cut short for rehabilitation works to start on the defunct factory, which grounded to a halt due to poor management. The factory has the potential to produce to feed Ghanaians and for the export market when it becomes operational. And the World Health Organization has called for exit screenings of all travelers from Ebola-affected countries. It wants checks to be done at airports, seaports, and major land crossings to prevent the further spread of the disease. The UN Chief Coordinator in Sierra Leone, David McLachlan Carr, said Ebola has spread to 12 out of 13 of the country's districts.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news now in detail. About 1,000 cases of cholera are recorded weekly, with the disease spreading to areas like Ada East and West, which hitherto had no reported cases. The Greater Accra Director of Health Services, Dr. Linda Van Otu, painted the alarming picture when she joined the Minister of Health, Dr. Kwaku Ajimamensah, and his entourage to visit the La General Hospital in Accra. Joyce Deechi reports.
The Greater Accra region has recorded 5,000 cases of cholera with 45 deaths. Accra Metro alone recorded almost 2,500 cases. The Greater Accra Director of Health Services, Dr. Linda Van Otu, said there have been increasing cases of cholera since the past 3 weeks. She said close to 1,000 cases are recorded weekly. Dr. Van Otu identified some factors causing most of the cases.
When you are going to the circle, you find that there's this big gutter. And that is where, unfortunately, a lot of the people use as their toilets. They use that in the morning. We are told that even in the afternoon, they don't feel shy. Along the big gutter. And it is going round throughout many of our communities. The School of Public Health also showed from what they picked that it is not just along the circle, but even within communities. The gutters are choked. We have all sorts of things, and unfortunately, we also have pipelines running through these same gutters.
According to Dr. Van Otu, the disease is mostly affecting the productive age group. The administrator of the La General Hospital, Selekoto, said they are overwhelmed with the situation and had to convert the OPD to receive cholera cases. He spoke about some efforts being made to reduce the pressure on the facility, but has not materialized.
I actually contacted our sister facilities, like Adabraka Polyclinic, for instance, like Lekma, like some others, but they also told me that they are also overwhelmed. Where to even put the patients is a problem. And if I got to a point that we even contacted another sister hospital, Adan District Hospital, to give us their cholera beds, they were willing to give us the beds, but we do not even have the space to put the beds.
Mr. Koto said family members who care for cholera patients are being given medication to prevent them from contracting the disease. The Minister of Health, Dr. Kwe Kwajima Mensah, said he will source money from the Ebola Fund to fight cholera. The Greater Accra Regional Minister, Nilay Afotiagbu, suggested the fumigation of all vehicles that send cholera patients to health facilities. The situation at the Mampobi Polyclinic wasn't different from what pertains at the La General Hospital. Officials there wouldn't comment on the cases. They said they have not been authorized to do so. From observation, the cholera wards were full. Likewise, tents provided. Patients were being administered with intravenous infusions on benches, wheelchairs, and other improvised structures.
Joyce Deji's report.
After on Ebola, the Chief of Staff, Prosper Bani, has urged chancellors and heads of tertiary institutions to join forces with government to ensure that the Ebola outbreak, which has affected four West African nations, does not spread to Ghana. According to Mr. Bani, there is a need for effective cooperation and coordination of strategy between the interministerial committee constituted by government and the heads of all tertiary institutions in the country. The Chief of Staff made the remarks at a key meeting the heads of tertiary institutions, including private tertiary institutions, at the Flagstaff House yesterday. The meeting was to seek views and updates from the heads of the tertiary institutions and also strengthen preparatory planning and other measures that are relevant to preventing or fighting the risk of Ebola in Ghana, especially on the various campuses. The Minister of Health, Kwe Kwajima Mensah, announced that Ghana has not recorded any case of Ebola so far. He said the 57 suspected cases reported so far from 9 regions, with the exception of the Volta region, have been tested and proved negative. The Health Minister gave the assurance that government has established emergency response units across the country and already trained selected health personnel to man these emergency health facilities. Emergency expertise is also being provided at all entry points in Ghana, especially at the airports. The Chief of Staff urged all institutions to establish emergency screening centers, intensify information campaigns on campuses, test simulation or preparedness exercises, and also be ready to extend their health measures to communities around their campuses. Government will provide personal protective equipment and other logistics to assist all institutions to ensure that Ebola virus does not enter Ghana. The reopening dates for tertiary institutions will be confirmed and communicated to all institutions shortly.
Meanwhile, the Ministry of Communication says it has nothing to hide in the event of an outbreak of the Ebola viral disease in the country. It says it is on high alert to inform the public if any case is confirmed. The sector minister, Dr. Edward Omanibuama, said this in Accra at a meeting with executives of the Ghana Journalist Association and the Ghana Independent Broadcasters Association. He said the ministry is stepping up efforts to educate the public on precautions they should take to avoid a spread should the disease break out. Thus, he noted, is being done by sustained public education.
The central mosque and then the 2 mosques in Yuma and the Ahmadiyya one as well. That was on Friday. And we will continue with this engagement. We want to protect every Ghanaian, everybody living in Ghana from being infected with the Ebola viral disease. That is our goal and that is what we are working towards.
The GJA president, Roland Afelmoni, challenged the media to churn out factual news but not to rush and spread falsehood in an attempt to be first to break the news.
It's a call to nationality. We have a critical responsibility to ensure that we not only disseminate information, but we disseminate accurate, verifiable information. Any story which doesn't have the substratum of facts should not be published, but must be dusted. We must ensure that we get information from credible sources, credible and alive, because any information from quack or any attempt to tell any piece of information in a sensational way will come with incalculable consequences. So this should be at the back of our mind as we play a frontal role in the fight against Ebola.
GJA President Roland Afelmoni.
The World Health Organization has called for exit screenings of all travelers from affected countries. It wants checks at airports, seaports, and major land crossings. Several airlines have already stopped flying to Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. Cameroon has closed its land, sea, and air borders with Nigeria. The UN's chief coordinator in Sierra Leone, David Mac Lachlan said Ebola has spread to 12 out of 13 of the country's districts. Meanwhile, reports say 17 suspected Ebola patients are missing in Liberia after a health center in the capital was attacked. The government had previously denied they were missing, saying all patients had been moved to another facility. The Ebola outbreak, which has spread from Guinea to Liberia, Sierra Leone and Nigeria, has killed at least 1,145.
The 29th Greater Accra Regional SRC Annual Residential Congress has opened in Accra with a call on the Ministry of Education to embark on a fumigation exercise in all schools to curb the spread of bedbugs and mosquitoes. This, according to the student body, is causing discomfort to students. The Greater Accra Regional SRC President Aaron Isiama Mensah made the call when he addressed students from 27 schools across the Accra metropolis. Georgette Cole reports.
The Greater Accra Regional SRC Congress is an annual event that brings student leadership together to discuss effective leadership skills and address student predicaments. This year's Congress is under the theme, An Empowered Youth Impacting Positively on National Development. The president of the Greater Accra Regional SRC, Aaron Mensah, said skills and knowledge acquired by student leaders help them to know what their role in society is about. Mr. Mensah pointed out some problems facing students and called on the Ministry of Education to address them.
The skills and knowledge acquired by student leaders should enable them to know what they need to do, which decisions should be taken to achieve a particular goal, and also which policy to be formulated and when and how it should be implemented. This can be achieved effectively through practicable leadership training exercises that the SRC offers. I humbly appeal on behalf of all senior high school students in the region to the Ministry of Education and its affiliated body to help implement the directive of withholding the worthy results of candidates who are in high debt of school fees. Some students were sacked from the exam hall owing to financial constraints which they probably have no power over. This, we believe, is the waste of the 3 years a candidate may have spent studying in senior high school. We therefore recommend that embargo should be placed on the worthy results so that candidates can assess their results after clearing the debt. Again, we humbly appeal to the government to always double her efforts made towards the provision of teachers' monthly salary to prevent the rampant occurrence of strike action by the various teacher unions. There should be a regional fumigation exercise in all school dormitories to reduce the influx of bed bugs and mosquitoes.
The regional SRC was established in 1985 to serve as a mouthpiece for students in all senior high schools in the Greater Accra region at a time when student views and grievances were not properly addressed in the country.
Georgette Cole reporting.
The management of Meridian Pre-University says the school has no relationship whatsoever with the Meridian University College, which was reportedly closed down for lack of funding. Addressing a news conference in Accra, the president of the school, Tete Nete, says since the publication of the story in a national daily, the school has been overwhelmed with phone calls and inquiries from the public and its patrons, which it believes must be corrected.
We look after the news that Meridian Pre-University has closed down. Actually, it was not captioned Meridian Pre-University. It was Meridian University College. But somehow, people think that it is Meridian Pre-University. So we've taken the trouble upon ourselves to clarify the issues. It is not Meridian Pre-University that has been closed down. Meridian Pre-University is still in operation. We have no relationship whatsoever with Meridian University College. And we want to let the public know that we are still in business. We are at Odoko and not at Kaswa or Bodiasi Road. So please, the public should not be afraid. For our past students and our current students and those who are willing to do business with us, we are still open. Our shareholders should also be at peace because we want to assure them that we are still open to the public.
That was the president of Meridian Pre-University, Tete Nete, denying publication in National Daily that the school has been closed down. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra. The major stories. Minister of Health told his health facilities as cholera spreads to other East and West districts. 1,000 cholera cases recorded weekly in Accra Metropolis. Government releases 30 million liters of diesel to help address shortfall in supply. President Mahama casts out today for rehabilitation of defunct Comenda sugar factory. Tertiary institutions tax to establish Ebola emergency screening centers on campuses. And WHO call for screening of all departing travelers from Ebola-affected countries. We are back after the break.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with factual, accurate and credible information. We are reliable.
The Ashanti regional capital, Kumasi, has been hit by a shortage of diesel. Reports say business activities in the city could come to a halt anytime soon if urgent measures are not instituted to ensure supply of the commodity. According to our correspondent, most of the intra-city commercial vehicles or trucks, particularly the mini urban buses, popularly known as TD, have parked either by the roadside or fuel stations after running out of fuel, leaving a number of commuters stranded, especially at the rush hour. The situation was serious in the morning, but our correspondent reports that it has worsened since motorists who had some amount of diesel in their vehicles had run out by midday yesterday. As at close of work, a number of fuel stations in the city had been inundated with vehicles waiting for the arrival of diesel to refuel, while others had been littered with gallons also in anticipation of the fuel. As a result, people have resorted to walking to their destinations with little hope of chancing upon a ready-to-go vehicle to hasten their journey home. Some commercial drivers have also decided to take undue advantage of the situation to increase their fares. Our correspondent says if the situation, most workers and traders who ply their trade in the city center could find it extremely difficult to commute to their place of work in the subsequent days.
Meanwhile, the chief executive of the Ghana Bulk Oil Distribution Company, Senyo Hosi, says liquidity challenges and loss of confidence in letters of credit from government is largely the result of the temporal shortage of some petroleum products. He said everything has been done to shore up dollar supply and other liquidity challenges to ensure regular supply of the products on the market. He told Agatha Samoa on Behind the News the challenges will be addressed by the end of this quarter.
I think the general problem that the industry has faced in recent times, as we generally know, has been a function of our liquidity challenges and a drop in the funding confidence for our industry. The banks have not found it that prudent or convenient to still fund us, also resulting from the liquidity challenges that our industry has exposed them to. So those have been the major constraints that we've had. We've been working with government and all other stakeholders trying to develop an orthodox method of still funding this industry. Bearing in mind that the concerns that the banks have been legitimate and reasonable. Beyond that, you definitely may have occasional spikes or occasional semblance of shortages here and there because we still are in some management mode.
But so now, with this current problem, does government's inability to honor its financial obligation to BDCs contributed to that?
Of course. We've had two major liquidity issues that have impacted funding, confidence. One has been the forex side, the other has been the CD side. With the CD one, it largely has to do the direct debt. The dollar one has to do with dollar provision for LC. And we've been working together on this. On the city side, yes, government owes us, and so is it that we currently have some oil marketing companies also owing us very significantly. And we're trying to also work with government to try and shore up dollar supplies for our letters of credit. And we're working on all sides to try and get this thing fixed. It's a challenging time, but I want to urge consumers not to fret and get into the mode of panic buying because that would actually crash the system. We're still working on a daily basis to make sure that products are available.
Chief Executive of the Ghana Bulk Oil Distribution Company, Senyo Hosi. Meanwhile, government has released about 30 million liters of diesel on the market to address the shortfall in supply.
President John Mahama will today cut short for rehabilitation works to start and the defense commander sugar factory in the central region. The factory grounded to a halt due to poor management. During the 2012 campaign, President Mahama promised to ensure a recovery of the factory, which has the potential to produce to feed Ghanaians and for the export market. Pascalina Dadivo looks at an operational commander sugar factory and its impact on the area.
The Comenda Sugar Factory is located in the central region. For many years now, production has halted due to a number of cited reasons, including poor management. Sugar is an essential commodity that goes into giving that sweet taste to most processed food consumed. It is estimated that about $500 million is spent annually on importing 3,000 tons of sugar into the country. If this is true, why then should a certain factory, which has the potential to produce twice the quantity imported for consumption, be left to rot? Government has been able to secure a loan of $35 million from the Indian government to revamp the collapsed factory. It is expected that about 400 direct jobs will be created. The factory's 1,000 hectares of land to be reactivated will employ about 2,000 outgrower farmers. This investment in the not too long future could make Ghana a net exporter of sugar. Currently, the country is the sixth largest importer of sugar in the world. As efforts are made to revive the good old Comenda Sugar Factory, government must keep an eagle's eye on management of the facility to reap the needed benefits. Investors who come forward must be encouraged to engage labor from the local community, complementing government homegrown policy whose tagline is to see Ghanaian billionaires in the country. The central region does not only have good soil for sugarcane production, but also for pineapple and citrus. The region has a vibrant fishing industry and clay. It is about time investors are directed to look at how to diversify these products into consumables rather than prospecting the country's mineral resources, usually to our disadvantage. The Suchari Sugar Factory, which is also in Koma, needs to be attended to quickly to serve as another job-creating avenue. What about a third sugar factory? We can only be hopeful.
Pascalina Dadivo reporting.
In a bid to ensure proper sanitation in the Accra metropolis, the ANA has launched a committee known as the Sanitation Standards Implementation Committee. The committee will be responsible for proper sanitation in every electoral area. The ANA Chief Executive Alfred Oko van der Poy announced this at a meeting convened by the Vice President with executives of Accra Market Associations at the Flagstaff House in Accra. He said those who will go against the standards will be prosecuted.
The idea behind the formation of the Sanitation Standards Implementation Committee is to get the assembly member, the public health member, the waste management member, two councillors from the electoral area, the community and welfare service representatives of the assembly in the electoral area committed into an objective to managing and collecting the refuse in the electoral area, liaising with the sub-waste management contractors to get a first-hand grip in the collection of the refuse. The education of sanitation standards that must be communicated with the public. And last but not the least, most importantly, to make sure that those who do not comply with the standards are brought to book and dealt with.
AMA Chief Executive Alfred Oko van der Poy.
A council member of the opposition NPP, Dr. Mwaku Tufo, has called on the rank and file of the party not to be disturbed by recent happenings in the party, but remain resolute as steps are being taken to address them. He told Radio Ghana's Agatha Samoa that though the unilateral decision taken by the general secretary of the party could make a point in asking some officials to proceed on leave is unconstitutional, the council reasoned with Mr. Japon to have the decision reversed.
It's a democratic process. We want to respect the rule of law and orderliness in doing things. We want to expect that our officers should respect our constitution, what it takes. This whole thing about Dario Kujeto and all that, it's all illegal. It cannot be sustained. Initially, a situation like that comes, we all get up with raised hairs and all that, but we're going to take it inside. The one that hires is the same one who can fire, and it is the National Executive Committee of the party and the Director of Finance who was also fired. These things are going to come up to us at the National Council. Right now, we do have some priorities to take care of, and that in the process of trying to select our presidential candidate, who doubles also as the leader of the party. Once we have that one in place, hopefully, and latest by 14th or 18th of October, we should be able to have all these problems solved.
Member of the MPP, Dr. Amoku Tufo.
Meanwhile, a lawyer and leading member of the NPP, Ayikwe Otu, says in line with the party's constitution, Mr. Jepon has not breached or broken the rules of the party since he has not sacked any official but only asked them to proceed on leave. He noted that Mr. Jepon, being an administrative head, has the power to reassign or ask any official of the party to go on leave.
I do not believe that such administrative matters will be contained in the constitution. But if you look at the powers of the general secretary, you will find that the general secretary is responsible for overseeing the operations of the party's national secretariat and coordinating the activities and operations of the party and of all employees of the party at constituency, regional, executive, external and national levels. Now, if you look at another provision dealing with the powers of the general secretary, it provides that the national secretariat consists of the general secretary, the national organizer, the director of finance, the director of communications, the director of campaign strategy, and such other personnel as the National Executive Committee may appoint. So he is the head of the secretariat, and he has all these workers under him, including the director of communication. I believe that any attempt at, say, removing anybody by the general secretary could lead to problems. But if we are talking about a head asking somebody to proceed on leave, that is not the same as removing that person.
Lawyer and leading member of the MPP, Ayikwe Otu.
The general secretary of the MPP, Kwabena Jepon, says he will hold a press conference today to react to issues raised by a section of the rank and file of the party. In an interview with Radio Ghana, Mr. Jepon declined to give further details until the press conference.
The Ministry of Foreign Affairs has begun the first of a series of workshops to take inputs from stakeholders to enable it to come out with a diaspora engagement policy for the country. The policy, which is expected to be in place by the end of next year, is to offer a clear direction for investment and make it easier for Ghanaians in the diaspora to work in the country. Speaking at the start of the policy drafting process, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Hannah Tete, said the policy will be incorporated into the new Ghana Shared Growth and Development Agenda being developed by the National Development Planning Commission.
The Minister of Gender, Children and Social Protection, Nana Oyelefa, says it is prudent to invest in women in order to speed up growth in the economy. This is because women form a majority of the population, and when empowered, have the possibility to reduce poverty in the country. Mrs. Leitha asked the private sector to do more by rolling out sustainable programs to help women, specifically those in rural communities, to become financially independent and self-sufficient. The minister made a comment at the formal launch of a program dubbed Coca-Cola's 5 by 20 Women's Economic Empowerment Program in Accra.
A religious leader, Daniel Opoku Adabo, who is claiming ownership of Subin Timbers in the case involving the Attorney General's Department, yesterday appeared before the Judgment Debt Commission in Accra. Mr. Adabo was requested to appear before the commission to explain issues because he claimed the media misrepresented information relating to the matter when the commission started its investigation. He was, however, unable to narrate events which led to the deconfiscation of the company's assets. The sole commissioner, Justice Yarpo, requested him to reappear with his counsel and all relevant documents relating to the case. Here's Cynthia Barton's report.
The Judgment Debt Commission invited Daniel Opoku Adabo after he wrote to the commission requesting to appear before it. Mr. Adabo said his adopted father, Kofi Ohene, petitioned Charge and other institutions after the confiscation of the company's assets by government, and the case was later taken to the Attorney General. He said before Kofi Ohene died, he instructed him to reclaim the company. He decided to tell his story at the National Reconciliation Commission, but no conclusion was arrived at. Mr. Adabo said later he received a letter from the Attorney General's Department for the deconfiscation of Sibin Timbers Limited. When the sole commissioner asked of the process of the deconfiscation, Mr. Adabo could not respond adequately.
Questions are you aware of this matter? What role did you play in the Sibin Timber Company Limited? Mm-hmm. Did you ever appear before the National Reconciliation Commission? If you did, tell the commission what you wanted to do. If there were any conclusions, what were their contents? These are the questions. The reconciliation did not take any decision.
No, sir.
But all those who appeared before the commission, I think they gave decisions.
We were not given documentation from the...
No.
Then how did the deconfiscation come?
My father petitioned, the late Onyeka Kofi petitioned the Attorney General, he petitioned National, he petitioned the National Reconciliation, all three institutions.
And you don't have all the petitions there?
I think I have some documents. So when you had the deconfiscation note, what did you do?
I went to court with it.
You went to court to do what?
To effect the deconfiscation.
And you don't have a copy here?
You didn't go to court?
No, after the deconfiscation, when I received the deconfiscation notice.
Yes, then what happened?
I took it to my lawyer, and he went to court for, I don't know how you call it,
And those were proceedings at yesterday's Judgment Debts Commission.
The Ministry of Youth and Sports yesterday appeared before the Presidential Commission of Enquiry investigating what led to the Black Stars' embarrassing campaign at the 2014 FIFA World Cup. During interrogation, it came out that government paid over $35,000 to four scouts. The chief director of the ministry who briefed the commission said the players and officials agreed on $82,500 in Ghana, but asked for $100,000 in Brazil. At this point, the chairman of the commission, Justice Senior Jamefe, suggested that in subsequent tournament, players and officials should be made to sign performance contracts to avoid the reoccurrence of such a situation.
And now to end the news, the main points again. About 1,000 cases of cholera are recorded weekly, with the disease spreading to areas like Ada East and West, which hitherto had no reported cases. The Greater Accra Regional Director of Health Services, Dr. Linda Fanotu, said this when she joined the Minister of Health to tour the La General Hospital. The Chief of Staff, Prosper Bani, has urged chancellors and heads of tertiary institutions to join forces with government to ensure that the Ebola outbreak, which has affected four West African nations, does not spread to Ghana. The Chief of Staff made the remarks at the Flagstaff House yesterday. And the chief executive of the Ghana Bulk Oil Distribution Company, Senyu Hosi, says government has released about 30 million liters of diesel on the market to address the shortfall in supply. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Hosi said the challenges facing supply of the product will be addressed by the end of this quarter. The news was presented by Lily Defoe
and Ibrahim Kwatum in Accra.